Good afternoon, everybody. Shmuel Klosky coming at you live from my house. Today is Monday, book club day here at Dolph Menor Synagogue and our School of Jewish Studies. Welcome aboard. Excuse me, it is Juneteenth. Some sort of federal holiday has come on the scene lately. I think it originates in black history. I think that there was a law, I think, that was passed in Texas many years ago outlawing slavery. And so that happened in Texas on June 19th. And so this day has been honored as the day of black, freedom or something like that. So kind of a federal holiday. If you're celebrating it, great. If not, it's Rosh Chodesh, last day of Sivan. Let's get right to it. Let's celebrate Rosh Chodesh today on page 29 in our book that we're studying, The Return to Zion, Addresses on Religious Zionism and American Orthodoxy by Rabbi Yoshe Ben Soloveitchik. Here's a talk that he gave in October of 1944. It's called The Letters of Creation, Jewish Axioms and Education in America. It starts off with a Gemara in Sanhedrin, 65b, about two sages who are occupying themselves with study. Sefer Yetzirah. By the way, the word Sefer Yetzirah means the book of creation, and it's commonly understood to be a mystical work, a work of Kabbalah. It's not at all easy. And it's only for the initiates, not for the rank and file. And so we'll get to this right now. Sefer Yetzirah. The Gemara in Sanhedrin 65b reports, Rav Chanina and Rav Oshaya would sit all Shabbos Eve long, and they would engage in the study of Sefer Yetzirah, the book of creation. End of the quote from Gemara in Sanhedrin. Rav Chanina and Rav Oshaya sat all Erev Shabbos long when Jews readied themselves to greet the Shabbos queen and to cross the mysterious threshold separating the sacred from the profane and delved into Sefer Yetzirah. Before they recited Kiddush, they familiarized themselves with the instruments of creation. To say Kiddush is nothing less than to fashion a new world, a magnificent world full of blessing, sanctity, and rest. God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy. Genesis chapter 2. Otiot Yetzirah. The Gaonim lived in the 700s, 800s, and 900s. The Gaonim came along, however, and they made one small correction to the aforementioned text. Instead of Sefer Yetzirah, they read it Otiot Yetzirah. Not the book of creation, that well-known mystical book, but rather Otiot Yetzirah, the letters of creation. These and those are the words of the living God. So say the sages in Erev in 13b. Both versions are true. Two different generations are speaking to us through these two variants. So you've got Sefer Yetzirah, the book of Yetzirah, and Otiot Yetzirah, the letters of creation. The book of creation versus the letters of creation. Watch how he expands upon these two concepts and builds ideas and makes arguments and observes history. There are periods in which the task of Yetzirah, creation, consists exclusively in continuing the act of creation, in improving and perfecting creation, in the work of formulating sublimer, higher, and loftier values and ideals, in elevating man to a higher plane, spreading the knowledge of God, deepening Jewish thought, sowing abstract Talmudic analysis, and making Zeh Keli V'Anvehu, this is my God, now I'll enshrine him, Exodus 15, a reality. Top page 30. Fortunate is the generation for which this is so. In such a generation, the difference between sacred and profane is not generic, but one of degree. Sacred denotes a level higher, profane a step lower. In such a generation, one can involve oneself in the study of Sefer Yetzirah, in the giant tome of creation and construction, building on the foundations of your seeding soil that prior generations had tilled and cultivated. In such a generation, Yetzirah is to be identified with Sefer, with the book. There are, however, other periods, and woe to the generation for which this is so, when the obligation of Yetzira compels us to start everything at the beginning, Abnoo, from square one, when the thousand-year Yetzira creation of great legendary generations disappears, when the long continuity from the dawn of the nation's history is severed, then we're not dealing with continuing, improving, and perfecting, but with creatio ex nihilo, creation out of nothing, with the ABCs of national existence, with the axioms of Judaism. What he's saying is you've got wonderful generations, so learned, so pious and holy, you can teach them the highest levels of Judaism. Other generations, sadly, they're not holding there. Got to start from square one. They're not ready for anything but the ABCs of national existence with the axioms of Judaism. In such a generation, we cannot occupy ourselves with the great Sefer Yetzira, but must rather concentrate on Otiot Yetzira, the simple, elementary Jewish alphabet with which God created heaven and earth. In such a generation, we do not concern ourselves with luxuries, ideals extrapolated from the axioms, depth and incisiveness, or Jewish metaphysics and speculative investigations, but rather with the muskalot rishonim, the first principles and axiomatic truths. Under those circumstances, the difference between sacred and profane does not relate to degrees and levels, but rather to the very existence of the nation. The distinction between the two, sacred and profane, is identical with that between historical and chaotic existence, order and anarchy, divine worship and idol worship. There are times when great Jewish leaders cannot allow themselves the luxury of disseminating wisdom and knowledge, the pleasure of using Sefer Yetzira, but must rather begin with the Aleph of Yetzira and Judaism, the letters, the Otiot Yetzira, the close of the Day of Rest. Tonight, at the close of Shabbos, as we depart the sacred for the profane, carrying with us a spark and a shimmer of that sanctity into the 6 days of creation, and hoping to bring the luster of beauty and blessing into the workaday street, we too seek to fulfill the Gemara's teaching by delving into Sefer Yetzira, a thoroughly mysterious work of creation. We believe that a new Jewish world, which understands the secret of Kiddush Hayom, the sanctification of a historical era, and the mystery of Havdalah, and chooses to leave over a bit of the wine from Kiddush for Havdalah, see Pesachim 113a, we hope that might emerge. A new Jewish world might emerge. Let us sit all Motzei Shabbos long and engage in the study of Sefer Yetzira, of the book of creation, meaning that higher level of creation. A Torah gathering. A Torah gathering, a session dedicated to education, a lecture on the topic, what will become of the Torah, is a fulfillment of engaging in the study of Sefer Yetzira, in the mystery of molding chaos into a magnificent world. After all, we Jews believe in the condition that God made with creation. Gemara Avodah Zarah 3a, Rav Shimon ben Lakish said, what is the meaning of that which is written, and there was evening and there was morning the sixth day? Genesis 1. This teaches that the Holy One stipulated with creation, saying, if Israel accepts my Torah, good. And if not, I will return you to chaos. End quote. A Jewish world cannot exist without Torah. However, we dare not ignore the Gaonim's reading. Otiot Yetzira, the letters of Yetzira, of creation. Unfortunately, we live in a time when the word Yetzira, creation, is connected not with the deep, wide notion of Sefer,
of profound thought, lofty spiritual values, and a visionary world of ideas, but rather with the term otiot, letters, elementary symbols, syllables, axioms, muskalot rishonim, fundamentals of the religion, the joy and enthusiasm that accompany Yetzira dare not intoxicate us. We are, as yet, very far, a great distance away from actualizing the idea of a cultural superstructure, from a spiritual renaissance. In the meanwhile, we must focus on the ABCs, nothing more, on otiot, on letters, not safer. Saying we're living in a time, sad to say, our job is to focus in on the basics and not on the loftier stuff that Judaism also has, but rather focus in on the fundamentals. In truth, Jews have always spoken of the importance of Torah. The ethical and homiletical literature is full of rebuke and reproach for illiteracy and ignorance. Ever since Moshe charged the Jews, quote, therefore, write down this poem and teach it to the people of Israel, Deuteronomy 31, Jewish sages have preached and demanded a Torah lifestyle, a Torah ideology, and a Torah outlook. However, while once upon a time this referred to Sefer Yetzira, the deep, wide Torah, whose, quote, measure is longer than the earth and broader than the sea, see Job 11. Today, it refers to the axioms of Judaism. Once upon a time, when one used the term yeshiva, one meant a place where a student goes to comprehend a teaching by Rambam or to analyze a passage in the Netzivot HaMishpat. Today, one means a place where a student is told that there is a God of Israel, a written Torah and an oral Torah, where he learns to recite the Shema and lay tefillin. Once upon a time, when one spoke of the ignorant, one understood that term to denote a superficial Jew whose Judaism is shallow. Today, it denotes a Jew who cannot tell the difference between Yom Kippur and Yisker, between Kashrus and Gefilte fish, a prehistoric type of Jew, a plain heathen who is not even aware of the existence of our teacher Moses, let alone Rabbi Akiva. Once upon a time, Torah referred to incisiveness, depth, erudition, tradition, analysis, Kitzos Achoshen, the Pnei Yoshua, Mor Nevuchim, the Kuzari. Today, it refers to axioms, simple elementary principles, the ABCs, the existence of the God of Israel, providence, the coming of the Messiah, the holiness of Israel, the oral Torah, the creation of the world, historical responsibility, Shabbos, prohibited sexual relationships, tefillin, family purity laws, and so on. Once upon a time, a Jew absorbed the axioms from the air, the rays of the sun, and the birds. He then attended cheder to learn Torah. Today, we don't speak anymore of higher Torah concepts, of advanced levels of knowledge, but of axioms, the tabernacle and Shabbos. We find a remarkable difference between the master of the universe's command to Moses regarding the Mishkan, the tabernacle, and Shabbos, and Moshe's repetition of God's word to the Jews. When the Almighty communicated with Moses, he initially spoke in great detail, one might say at length, about the tabernacle, the Mishkan, with its ark, menorah, table, and copper altar. See Parshas Truma. Spoke about the priestly vestments, the choshen, the ephod, the tzitz, and the robe. See Parshas Tetzaveh. And he spoke about the incense, the anointing oil, the shekels, and the laver. See Parshas Kisisa. Only toward the end, before the close of the 40 days on Mount Sinai, when God transferred to Moshe the two stone tablets and finished speaking with him, see Exodus 31, only then did God teach Moshe the passage regarding Shabbos. Quote, nevertheless, you must keep my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you. The Israelite people shall keep the Sabbath. Exodus 31. By contrast, when Moshe gathered all the Jews in order to give them God's Torah, he reversed the order. Surprisingly, he began with Shabbos and finished with the tabernacle and its vessels. Quote, Moshe then convoked the whole Israelite community and said to them, these are the things that the Almighty has commanded you to do. On 6 days, work may be done, but on the seventh day, you shall have a Sabbath of complete rest, holy to God. Moshe said further to the whole community of Israelites, this is what the Almighty has commanded. Take from among you gifts to God. Everyone whose heart so moves him shall bring them. See Exodus 35, verse 5, Psukim. What, end quote. Why did Moses switch the order in which God spoke to him, first regarding the Mishkan, and then regarding Shabbos? According to the Beis HaLevi, this is Rabbi Soloveitchik's great-great-grandfather. So Rabbi Soloveitchik's grandfather was, Rabbi Soloveitchik, his father is Moshe Soloveitchik, whose father is Chaim Brisker. So Yosheber was the grandson of Chaim Brisker, and therefore the great-grandson of the Beis HaLevi. According to the Beis HaLevi, the answer is very simple. See Beis HaLevi al Drish Umile Agadata on Parshas Kisisa. Shabbos is the foundation of Judaism, the ABCs of Jewish religion and national existence. The principle of Shabbos belongs to the axioms of our being and the fundamentals of our God-world-man outlook. The tabernacle, the temple, Kohanim, sacrifices, incense, anointing oil, Choshen, Ephod, etc., as exalted, grand, and world-embracing as their symbolism might be, as deep and holy as their religious, philosophical meaning and character are, nevertheless, do not constitute axiomatic values and elementary principles of Judaism the way that Shabbos does. They are luxury values, lavish ideals, refined, splendid religious norms that endow Judaism with beauty and luster. They are not, however, a conditio sine qua non, meaning an absolute necessity for the existence of the Jewish people. The Knesset Yisrael will soon have endured for 1,900 years without a Beis HaMikdash, without priestly vestments, sacrifices, and a Kohen Gadol. But it cannot survive even a single Jubilee as a healthy, normal collective without Shabbos. Shabbos is an axiom, a postulate, a fundamental of Judaism, while the temple is merely an ideal, extrapolated from an axiom. When God gave the first tablets, the Jews were a healthy, powerful people, inspired and excited by the ideals of redemption and the assembly at Mount Sinai, and endowed with historical vision and national prophecy. Quote, the maidservant standing at the Reed Sea saw that which even Isaiah and Ezekiel did not, to the Mechilta of the Shira 3. The crowns given them for responding, Na'ase v'nishma, we will do and we will listen, Exodus 24, were still shining and shimmering on the Jews' heads. The people understood clearly and unambiguously the axioms, the foundational truths and fundamentals of their faith, destiny, and historic mission. They required no long, detailed instructions and commands regarding Shabbos. Shabbos was utterly obvious and self-understood. All of Jewish life was centered around the ideal of Shabbos. Quote, on the sixth day, they gathered double the amount of food. This is what the Almighty meant. Tomorrow is a day of rest, a holy Shabbos of God. Bake what you would bake and boil what you would boil. See Exodus 16. One of the more complicated, involved laws in mitzvahs, the temple, priesthood, sacrifices, values and norms built on the axioms needed to be explained to the people, not the axiomatic fundamentals and values. God gave Moshe the mitzvah of Shabbos only as an afterthought, mentioning it and nothing more. When, however, Moshe came to the Jews to transmit God's words, it was after the episode of the golden calf, after the smashing of the two tablets, after, quote, he implored, meaning Moshe implored, begged, and after God came down in the cloud. The people had already lost their two crowns, and none put on his coronet. See Exodus 33. There was no longer any Ruach HaKodesh, any Holy Spirit, and the seductive sheen of the golden calf had blinded the eyes that had once had vision. The people were somewhat abnormal and pathological. The first sign of national spiritual pathology is a reversal in the order of values, the demotion of axiomatic values to a secondary status, and the promotion of second-tier ideals to the highest order. Moshe immediately grasped that he had to first study the ABCs, the axioms of the Torah, the first letters of our faith, Shabbos, with the Jews, the Mishkan, the tabernacle, priestly vestments, menorah, and incense would come later. Moshe then convoked the whole Israelite community. After the golden calf, Moshe first taught the Jewish masses about the fundamentals of the religion, not about sanctity and priesthood. The mistake of other parties. Unfortunately, many Jewish movements here in America have forgotten Moshe's order and failed to understand the meaning of the Gaonim's reading. Otiyot Yetzira. No Jewish community in the world has occupied itself to such an extent with the problem of Yetzira, of fashioning a substantive and colorful Jewish life, as has American Jewry. All movements, from the extreme assimilationist and radical remnants of the Anshiknesset Gdola of the Polish and Lithuanian Bund, there's a little sarcasm, to the so-called modern Orthodox groups, they're all involved in debating, speaking, organizing conventions, and making noise about Judaism. How do we save Judaism? How do we raise a new generation of Jews in America? How do we nurture a proud, self-aware Jewry in our country? These questions and problems occupy the elites of all parties. However, they all focus their attention on a safer Yetzirah, not on the Otiyot. They do not realize that in order to formulate a Jewish ideology and a positive relationship to religious national values, one must start with the ABCs. The world was created with the letter Bet, says Genesis 1. Bereishis, the Torah was given with the letter Aleph. Anochi, I am, says Hashem. All of these parties and ideologies would do well to remember Euclid's old maxim that, quote, there is no royal road to geometry. One does not posit the geometric axioms, but instead moves slowly from one theorem to the next, from the first conclusion to the second. One cannot grasp the principles and laws of area and volume. No marvels or miracles are involved in construing a deductive mathematical discipline. Even a king cannot take shortcuts. The same obtains here. There is no royal road to Judaism. One cannot teach Judaism using shortcuts. A lecture, a sermon, a ceremony, a philosophy book, debates and analyses. Grand leaps and wonders are laughable in Judaism. We cannot perform the miracle of teach me the entire Torah while I stand on one foot. See Shabbos 31a. We have to start with the axioms, principles, fundamental truths, ABCs. Only then can we slowly clamber uphill. In the meanwhile, we remain in the valley. And the question of Mi Aleh El Har Hashem, who may ascend the mountain of God, see Psalm 24, is very complicated and difficult, almost unanswerable. One must climb up systematically, step by step. A Jew who wants to reap the benefits of Judaism must go through all the stages of learning, training, and disciplining himself. In this respect, Judaism is the most difficult faith in the world. It cannot be founded upon ignorance. There are no more splendid philosophical interpretations of Judaism than those proffered by German Jewish philosophers like Moritz Lazarus, Hermann Cohen, Franz Rosenzweig, Martin Buber, and so on. Nevertheless, from a Jewish standpoint, these philosophies are ignorant, and modern German Jewry was very far removed from being a tradent of Judaism. Top 36. How can the Zionist Organization of America, from which the land of Israel now demands not only money and political pressure, but more importantly, pioneering spirit, human souls, and practical participation in the building of the land, how can it approach, how can the ZOA, the Zionist Organization of America, approach a young American Jew who has no inkling of the God of Abraham, is less familiar with the Bible than the average Protestant, and does not even know about the existence of the Torah or about the most significant events in Jewish history, like Korban Bayis, the destruction of the temple. And how can it inspire him with Zionist ideology, calling upon him to sacrifice for the cause? How can the radical movement, the camp of secular Judaism, explain to such an ignoramus, such a heathen, the importance of secular Jewish culture? How can the so-called modern Americanized Orthodoxy, which stares wide-eyed at Mount Sinai and speaks with angels, how can it cultivate a traditional Jewry in a vacuum of ignorance, in chaos, in which the first axiomatic ideals and truths do not exist? How can the rabbinic organizations, old and young, speak of the wisdom of the Torah, convene Torah gatherings, debate Torah matters, and assert optimistically that, thank God, Torah is surviving and thriving in America, when 99% of our generation knows less about Judaism than an educated, cultured Gentile? All these movements imprison themselves in golden cages in their own four cubits and believe that the American Jewish public revolves around them. Friends, we're going to take a little break over here. I got things to attend to, and we've made a little dent in the, God willing, in this chapter, and with God's help, we're going to try to finish it off next week. We'll try our best to conclude the letters of creation, Mr. Shem. So thank you so much for calling in today. I sure appreciate it. We did take a bite out of this chapter, and with God's help, we'll finish it off next week. Wishing everybody a very, very good week. God willing, please join me tomorrow night for Tanakh Tuesday as we continue and maybe even conclude 2 Kings chapter 18. Take care and be well. Bye-bye now.